Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chasers. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to bonus content from episode 95. It's late at night, and so I'm having more old man moments than I care to admit. But I told y'all not to panic after the Mavericks lost game one. And for once, because it don't happen often, I was right. Mavericks win, 96-93. They have tied the series with the Clippers at the game apiece. That's all you want as the road team is a split, headed back to Dallas where they get the next two games and a chance to seize control of the series. But we'll go one at a time. Nice win for the Mavericks. And I've got my five reasons why the Mavericks won. Me and your boy Big Joe and the Big Rig will go through these, and then we will bid y'all adieu and good night. Number one reason Mavericks win: defense, baby. They held the Clippers to 36.8% from the field, 8 for 30 on threes. Remember, the Clippers shot about 50% on threes in game one. And I knew they was locked in, dog, when they had five blocks in the first quarter.
Oh yeah, Gafford and Lively, man. They came to life today. You know, we didn't get that much from Gafford. We didn't get much from Gafford. The points wise.
No, he played nine.
Go ahead.
Well, he only played 9 minutes. He went out at 8:14 in the first quarter with some kind of strained back, and the score was just 5-5. He came back and tried to play some. But I think he was kind of limited, and they were like, you know what, just rest it. We got a couple of days off now, so try to get your body right so you're ready for game three.
Roger that.
But, I mean, I think they were more physical. Clearly, they were more physical than they were in game one. They met the Clippers' force. They played probably a little bit harder. They was on the ground just a little bit more. They was contesting everything. And, you know, they just played better with more intensity, and they kind of carried over, it seemed to me, the way they played in the second half that a lot of people were talking about, where they cut 29-point lead to about 15 or 14 before the Clippers closed it on out. They had a little more of that juice to them, and I think that helped them. Because rebounds, man, they out-rebounded the Clippers 50-47. And, you know, we all know that the Mavericks are not known for rebounding the ball. And what happened was collective effort. P.J. Washington, 6. Derrick Jones Jr., 7. Kyrie Irving, 6. Luka had 6. Lively had 9. Kleber had 6. Josh Green had 7. I mean, I don't know the last time the Mavericks had that many guys making a concerted effort to get on the boards and make a difference. But it helped tonight. And that defense, man. A big reason why the Mavericks pulled this one out.
P.J. Washington, he surprises me because I've followed him when he was in Charlotte, and I was always down on him about his offense. But that dude has a toughness to him, man. You know, now, I shouldn't be surprised because he played at Kentucky.
I'm going to say this, and it doesn't always work like this. I mean, that was a beautiful segue because the second reason I have for the Mavericks winning, P.J. Washington, 18 points, 3 out of 4 threes, and he made a couple big ones in the fourth quarter. But the thing, and I don't think you can overlook this, and, you know, some folks may choose to poo-poo it. I think it's a big deal, but it doesn't always work like this. Remember, P.J. Washington is from Frisco. This was his team growing up. This was his favorite team growing up, the team he wanted to play for coming out the draft. So it doesn't always work like this, but sometimes when you go home, you're so happy to be home. You got mom and dad available to you. It's just a situation where you're so comfortable that you can play better. And so I think that's the situation with him, where coming home, it's a place he wants to be, it's a place he's happy, it's a winning environment, and there's no reason for him not to play his best basketball. It's a team that wanted him because they went out and acquired him. He has a very specific role here. He's not asked to be the man. Just get in where you fit in, because this is all about Luka and Kyrie. And I think for some guys, that can be a very comfortable feeling, and it allows them to thrive. Because what have they told him to do, duh? I mean, you can read it in the paper almost every day. They've told P.J. Washington, hey, man, we need you to play defense with your 7-foot wingspan, and we need you to hit the corner three. That's your role. Can you do that, sir? And a lot of nights he's done that. And when he does it at the highest level like he did tonight, they're really hard to beat. Again, 18 points and several key three-pointers in the fourth quarter when the Mavericks were making their move and seizing control of this game. You got anything else on PJ?
Yeah, it's good to be PJ these days, because instead of being a bust as a superstar in Charlotte, you know, a top pick in Charlotte, now he playing with two superstars, and like you said, he playing at home, and he don't have to be the guy. He can be an augmentation to the guy, and that's the best. That's sometimes a good role to be in until you get your feet, until you pop in this league, and you might not never become a superstar, but I think he'll be a very good player.
Well, no, you hit on another very good point, which is, and this is not a knock on anybody, everybody is not built to be a superstar. And I use the example because he's balling this year. Is Kristaps Porzingis? He was never built to be a superstar. Now he at the Celtics, where they got Jason Taylor and Jaylen Brown. He good. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He good. He not the man. The media don't come looking for him first in the locker room. Now he can do his thing as a third option.
Yep.
And he thriving. Everybody, and it's not a knock on people not built to be a superstar. That's why they superstars. There's only a few of them. And there's no knock if you're not one. But sometimes you can fall into that third man role, and it's all good, baby. Just show up, play your game, go home, and it's a perfect situation for him. And that's part of the reason Porzingis has thrived in Boston. And as you mentioned, I think that's part of the reason why P.J. Washington is thriving in Dallas.
I was more excited about Gafford than I was PJ. Because, you know, many times, like I told you on 2K, he frustrated the hell out of me because he's so streaky. Even on the damn game, he's streaky. But I didn't realize how, like I said, I didn't realize how good his defense is. Now, he's tough. I think he's a tough player, man. You know, he's 6'7", yeah. 225, kind of thick.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Now, he's not a little dude.
Yeah.
He's not a little dude.
And he's physical, and he knocks people around. I think Westbrook tried to give him the business, and I think he looked at Westbrook like, man, you better take your old ass on. You know?
Matter of fact, he is 6'7", 230.
There you go. There you go. That's a big guy in the NBA.
Averaged 13 points, 5.5 rebounds this year.
Yeah, he's a tweener. Between 3 and 4, and this at the NBA at this time he can play 4.
Right.
In the old days, that's Mark McGuire.
True that.
Yes, sir.
Reason number 3, your Dallas Mavericks beat the Clippers 96-93, is the two superstars did their thing. Luka Doncic, 32 points. 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Kyrie Irving, 23 points. 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Luka, 11 for 26 from the field. 5 of 14 on threes. And he does what superstars do, since we've been talking about superstars. He hit that dagger 3 at the top of the key and then talked that smack to the crowd.
All the way back. All the way back. You know I'm watching the game with the missus. I'm watching the game with her. And, man, she was going crazy. You know, she was an athlete too, so she loved basketball. She'd be talking about that. How old is Luca? How long you been? Like, hey, listen, Google that. Come on now. And then she'd be like, you know, she was like, Luca, that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, she feels every basket, man. One of these days, man, we'll get together and you're going to go, okay, she really into this thing. So it's not just me. It's just fun to watch the game with her. And, Luca talked to he got so much swag, man.
Swag.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I refer to it as Luca with the no, 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 hell no. Yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Three-pointer.
Yeah.
Because he shot that one deep from the top of the key. It was contested.
He don't care.
He
don't care, though.
Some cats live for the moment, and Luca is that guy. And tonight was a good example of why I thought going into the playoffs – the Mavericks would be a very difficult team to beat, and that I thought nobody would be sitting up there going, oh, yeah, bring on the Mavericks. And this is what I mean. Yeah. This real talk, though.
Yeah.
Like, as good as the Cowboys are and as good as the Cowboys have been over the last 2 or 3 years, I think people, and I've changed my mind over this period of time, I think teams go, oh, yeah, we don't mind playing Dallas. Bring them on. They choke in the playoffs. They don't play good. No, I'm for real. Like,
yeah, I'm like, agreeing with you.
Bring them on. They, yeah, you know, yeah. We I don't care what their record is.
Yeah,
hit them in the mouth in the first quarter, there's a chance they might fall out. They might do a Michael Spinks. So bring them on. I don't think people think like that with the Mavericks, and here's why. If it's a close game, 5 points, 4 or 5 minutes left, you got to deal with Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah, that's the best thing about, I remember early on, it's the best thing about the Mavericks now. Early on in his career when there was nobody else, Luka was missing a lot of them shots in the fourth quarter because he was so tired. He had to carry the whole offensive load. He was missing bunnies and deep shots because he didn't have the energy. But now he diving for balls and doing crazy stuff, and he actually got the energy to take somebody inside at the end of the game.
And if you try to double team him, now, you know, people get criticized for this all the time, man. And I never like it, but they get criticized. Dirk was criticized for it. LeBron has been criticized for it lately.
Oh, yeah.
But if you watch it, Luka makes the right basketball play. And he'll kick it out, and he'll be like, take the shot. And he done threw it to the corner to somebody, or he done gave it to Maxi Kleber. You're like, dog, really?
Yeah.
But it's the proper basketball play because I need these guys to hit these wide-open shots so that later in the game, people have to cover them. That opens it up for me to do my thing. And, you know, and the point is, when him and Kyrie are going back and forth with the ball in the last few minutes of the game, you're really just hoping that they miss because there's nothing you can do to stop them from getting to their spot and getting their shot off and the shot that they want to take. It's just a matter of whether they make it or miss it.
Yep.
It's just they're incredibly difficult tandem to play at the end of games. Now, if you can do like you did the other day, get them out and blow them out early, then it don't matter. But if it's a 3-4 point game, 3 or 4 minutes left, you got a problem because the way they play off each other, the way they run the offense, it's they're just tough to beat because neither one of them is afraid of the moment. And you saw it tonight. So I thought that Dagger 3, I mean, there's a reason why he called it Dagger 3. He put him up by 9. And yeah, dog, he talked plenty smack to the crowd on his way back to the bench. Reason number 4 that the Mavericks win. They're down 73-67 midway through the fourth quarter. And they go on a 14-0 run. P.J. Washington hits 3 threes during that run. Before it was all over, Luka had a 3, Kyrie had a 3, and that's when they pulled away and built their lead up to 8 points at 86-74 or 84-76 before the Clippers were able to get it. And dude, that run came right after I was cursing out Luka for just a second because he had made a nice play, he had tied the score at 66. And then he popped off, got a technical. They hit a free throw on the last play of the first, basically the last play of the third quarter, to go up 67-66. Then they scored the first 6 points of the fourth quarter. I'm like, damn, did they use that Luka tech? as a little bit of momentum to spurt ahead. And that's when I was like, yeah, this is kind of danger zone for the Mavericks right now. And that's about the time P.J. Washington hit that corner three to pull it back and start the run. So obviously that was a key stretch in the game. Mavericks showed a lot of grit right then, because they showed a lot of grit during the whole game. Because as we talked about, Gafford was out. But they played with an intensity that we certainly didn't see for the first two or three quarters against the Clippers the other night. And it was very obvious to me. And it was good for them. And I think it's something that they can bottle up and take with them, because part of the reason they got back in the game on that 14-0 run was, did you see that play, that series where Luka locked down Kyrie, Kawhi?
Yeah, I did. That surprised me, but it kind of
says damn right it did.
It says something about Kawhi either. I don't think he got his full bag of tricks yet.
You hit both nails on the head right there with one hammer. Yeah, it says something about Luka, but also said like, oh, Kawhi Leonard must not have his knee must not be right, because he probably saw that matchup with Luka like, yo, clear out everybody, I'm just gonna go to work.
Yeah,
and instead there was no work there. And that was a big
you
play.
About to go to work on somebody that probably is gonna play that Ole defense on you, and then Lucas stood tall like, nah, dog, I got a little energy now. That's why I say with the difference with him and Kyrie together is that he trusts Kyrie, and he ain't got to save his energy. You know, he can do that. He can do that. You know, because he don't have to do the heavy lifting on offense all the time.
Nah, they're in a good spot with that, and then. I've been ripping on this guy for a minute, but Maxi Kleber hit a key three, and it came up with the game-clinching offensive rebound after the rare fourth-quarter miss from the free-throw line by Kyrie. And those are two big plays, man. And he's been bad because you can tell that he has no confidence in his shot. So, one, I was surprised Luka gave him the ball to shoot at that particular time. And I was even more surprised when he buried it. But I think it's because he didn't have time to think about it. He just caught it and shot it, and it went in.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they can get a little bit out of him, because he's still playing solid defense, which is what he does. And that was a huge rebound at the end of the game, because it just eliminated any chance for a miracle comeback. And before you laugh, don't forget that the Knicks scored 8 points in 40 seconds the other day. So it's the NBA, you know, strange things can happen when you miss free throws and give people the ball and give them opportunities. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, think about how big that challenge call was from Jason Kidd. That if Kawhi Leonard gets the layup.
Very big, yeah.
You know, they down by three with 20 seconds left instead of four. And it's 1 point, but that 1 point is huge. And so it was a great challenge by Jason Kidd, and the Mavericks get the dub, man.
Yeah, I was surprised by Kleber myself because I had my head in the refrigerator, and when he hit the three, I told my wife, I said, "Well, hey, was that 42?" She goes, "Yeah, I think so." I said, "Yeah, that's 42. Damn, he hit that thing. Okay, you know, maybe Max is back, you know, because he didn't do jack last week, you know, and he off and on anyway." But that's like you said, that's good Luka had the damn confidence in him to get the ball over there. I mean, I don't know about I don't question Luka if he passes it, because you know he don't care about shooting the clutch shot. I think LeBron, right, as great as he is, I don't know if I trust him with the last three-pointer. You know, or the last, you know what I'm saying, the last long ball of the game. I don't know. I think it's best for him to give it up to a good shooter if you're dumb enough to leave him open with him. But I know Luka. Right. I don't criticize Luka as much, because Luka really does make the best play. Even if he shoot it over three people and he miss, I don't care. You know, because he's gonna make. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna make that.
Right. You know? No, he's an incredible player, man. Part of it is he make it look so easy. I mean, the stuff that he's doing is incredible, but he playing at that old man pace.
Yeah, Yeah.
You can't speed him up, and he's just out there dominating.
He reminds you not just because they don't have similar styles, but I would make the Larry Bird comparison where it always looked like Larry Bird was playing slower than everybody else.
Yeah.
It always looked like that. Oh, he never dunks. Yes, he did. He didn't jump very high. He didn't look like he was moving quick. He just made the best play. He just played within himself at his speed. You can't speed him up. Jokic is like that, too.
No, it's a beautiful game that he plays, and it's part of the Maverick, part of the reason why the Mavericks have tied the series up. So, real quick,
when he talks shit, I'm talking shit. You know what I'm saying? when he running back down the court, I'm going crazy, and I'm singing that damn Suzanne Vega song. My name is Luca. I'm singing that shit. It's not about basketball, but you know, it's hey.
Right.
Luka getting down. Hey, it's just when your player get fired, it reminds me of Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin did all that getting fired up and all that crazy. Everybody in the room jumped around. Everybody in the whole damn stadium went crazy.
Right, right.
The team, the stadium, everybody in their heyday. That's what Luka, that's the energy that Luka gives off.
No, that he does. And so, hey, we hope you appreciate this bonus edition of Jacques Talk. Mavericks with the big one. 96-93 over the Clips.
Are we gone? I'm awake now. But trust me, them eyes was getting heavy when we came on. I was just like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna make it, but hell, I'm up now. But all right, then I got you.
Nah, this is well, you know, we're gonna take 2 seconds. Let me explain to you. This is the problem with being a sports writer, because you're mimicking the sports writer right now. What happened is, instead of writing about the game, we talking about the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about the game, you write about the game, you do your interviews, you write your story, your mind going 100 miles an hour, trying to make sure you got everything in the paper, it's all good. And then it's like, I can't finna go to sleep right now. I'm good. I'm wide awake. I'm wired. You know, and so you end up staying up to another, you know, even if this game was in Dallas. You go and have a drink with the other reporters after the game and chop it up about this, that, and the other thing, and then go home. And you might not get to bed after a game like this until about 3 o'clock. At least in Dallas, you get home and go to bed about maybe midnight. But that's the life of a reporter, because well, now you got to turn your mind off.
It's like driving the last 400 miles on a 1,600-mile route. That's about 7-8 hours. First part of the route, you're probably sleepy. By the time you done caffeinated and ate a little stuff and listened to some audio books, you get home and you all jacked up. Yeah.
There you go.
Like
that's
that.
It in a nutshell.
Yeah, roger that.
So on that note, we'll see if I make it to the gym at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll give y'all a report on that. So for Big Joe and the Big Rig, until we chat again, I hope you guys enjoyed. Bonus! Jacques Talk, and you guys be blessed.